Hey there, welcome to another Truth Talk. My name is Jessica Hoddle and I'm your host. Today we start a new Truth Talk series regarding the fight against human trafficking. I interview the founder of 611 and we really go deep into really how simple it can be to get involved and where it starts, awareness and learning and outreach. There's so many different layers between being on the streets and giving. There's so much in between that we can learn and grow from to really be a part of this fight against human trafficking. You're going to see a couple other Truth Talks regarding some where they are actually out on the streets and they're going to share testimonies. This one with Anthony is about the overall view, the basic question, what signs should we be looking for? What is the most important? What is the biggest opportunity right now? I think that the most important thing we can do is ask questions about getting involved and seeing where you're called, what season and what you have available, and just awareness. Looking around your surroundings, being with people when you're with them. And this is just one of the smallest things you can do to start and to partake in this fight. Let's go ahead and listen to the interview with Anthony, and I can't wait for you to hear the rest of the Truth Talks in this series. Anthony, I'm so excited that you're here to really shed some light on human trafficking and 611. I think right now, I just feel like the Lord is breaking down idols in so many different industries and really allowing people to see people for who they are, like celebrities and everything that's going on in the world. And I think it's great. First of all, just thank you for being here. But connecting with you has been wonderful. I have always been wanting to go deeper of not just reading or donating, but how do I actually get involved in human trafficking and sex trafficking and stuff? And here you are. You know, we met through a mutual friend, and I would just love to hear your story a little bit and then go into what is 611? What is your network? Like, what does that mean? And just share a little bit of your testimony.
Amen. Well, first off, Jessica, thank you so much for the opportunity to come on here. Just absolutely love what you're doing. And just to start, I mean, I'm a former atheist. Like, I had a hatred for God. I mean, there's no nice way to say it. You know, it's 24 years of my life. I pursued everything that the world had to offer. You know, I thought that success as a man was based upon my status, my wealth, the number of women that you would chase after, all of that. I literally lived that out for 24 years. And the irony in all of it was, you know, I had the big house, I had the nice car, I had the good job, and I was so bankrupt spiritually, so bankrupt physically, it was depressed, just miserable. And it was in that season that I don't even know how to describe it. The Holy Spirit, the Father, just started to speak to me and say, you know, I'm what you're looking for, you know, and he just started to beckon me. And at my lowest point, I just cried out and said, God, if you're real, I need you to answer me. Because I need a father. And he answered by fire. I don't know how to describe it, but he transformed my heart, delivered me from pornography, delivered me from the drugs and the alcohol and all that I was living in. And so that was 12 years ago. And my journey has been one of just where the passion has been to seek Jesus with everything I have. I believe he lives inside of us as his people. And so through that journey, I've always been passionate about freedom because I realized that I was a slave for 24 years. I was a slave to what people thought of me, a slave to substances, all this stuff. And so I've always been passionate about freedom and I've always cried out and God, give me your heart. Like I want your heart and I want your heart for the things that you care about. And so fast forward to a couple of years ago, the vision of 611 came and the irony was I had just shared a message at our small house church about how God was going to build his temple or that he is building his temple in the earth. And it's a temple that's not made with human hands. It's living stones. And I had just given this message and the Lord gave me a vision of David and Goliath. And I had just watched a documentary about the fight against sex trafficking and I got wrecked on it. And the Father said to me, you need to gather living stones, people who have my heart, and I'm going to put those living stones into that slingshot in the hand of David, right? And I'm going to slay Goliath because human trafficking is the Goliath of your generation. And so that was the beginning. That was the birth of 611. 611 is Isaiah 61, verse 1. The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me. He's anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to set captives free. And it's the passage that Jesus quotes in the synagogue. He reads that out loud and says, today, my brothers, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And so to tie it all together, you know, what we're doing at 611 is we're building a global network of people who are going to stand together in underneath of that scripture, the Spirit of Yahweh is upon me. Because when we as the body of Christ, when we as the bride come together and let God, you know, grieve our hearts over what grieves his, and then be empowered to do something about it, we will say, just as Jesus did in the synagogue, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and we will stare down Goliath and we'll watch him fall. And so that was really the birthing of 611.
I love how the story just weaves beautifully together for what you're doing today. And I really wanted to talk with you about basic questions I think many people might have. Cause you know, it feels so hard to get into this industry. Where do you start? And I know at 611, you have kind of a tier. In a sense, there's tier, but there's also not necessarily one higher than the other, but there's, you know, there's always a tier of you can give, but then there's also this and that. So can you share how kind of really easy it is to be involved in this fight against human trafficking?
Yeah, amen. And you're addressing something that was really instrumental for me. And when I first walked into this was so many people like myself included went, this is Goliath, right? This is massive. We're talking about $150 billion a year industry. We're talking about, you know, hundreds of thousands of kids just being, exploited, abused, all of that. How can I possibly do anything about it? What can I do, right? And the enemy gets us to camp out there. And so, you know, what the Father spoke to me, and it's really tied into what you were a part of, Jessica, the I Am a Safe House campaign, but that's to show all of you, everybody listening, we are the safe house if Jesus lives inside of us, and we all have a role to play in the fight against sex trafficking. So, you know, one of the key missions of 611, number one is to, you know, raise awareness because people don't know about it. I think there's a lot of people who still don't need to be aware. But number two, once they're aware, the natural question is, well, what can I do, right? And so that's what 611 wants to answer. And so through our leadership team, we meet with every single person that reaches out to us to understand their heart. What passion do you have? What has God spoken to you? What is your vocation? What are your gifts? What are your skills? And our heart is to personally connect and build a community of believers. And then in that process, give them tangible ways to get involved in the fight, whether that's through internal efforts that we are doing, like our outreach teams, our efforts to uncover darkness. So we have teams of researchers, advocacy. So, you know, our team of advocates who walk alongside of survivors. Our artists who work within our artist collective to use their gifts in the arts to raise awareness, you know, security for a lot of the men and women who want to be involved in rescue and that area. So our heart is to know you and then to give you that clear, tangible action step to get involved with our internal efforts or depending on where you're located geographically with one of our partners who may operate a safe house in your area that needs, you know, volunteers to come and serve at the safe house, things like that. So that is absolutely top of mind for us is like, how do we get the body of Christ, once they're awakened to this, activated and involved in the fight?
It sounds like really we just need to be willing to ask. I think that really what it comes down to, I think we can say we want to make the change, we want to do something, but it's not really until we do a little bit digging and ask what we can do. I think that takes it to the next level. It's really kind of just what you're saying, because it takes us to email. It takes us to, you know, and a lot of people, I don't know how money to give. And I think that don't let that become an excuse of why you don't help. Can you tell us about your engaging, your equipping, kind of the process that you have when it comes to your team and the kind of a vision for 611?
Yeah, so we use, I mean, three major buckets. I call them buckets: equip, engage, and transform. And so equipping is everything from awareness. You know, we do training classes online. We'll come to your church when we're able to. You know, all of that is around that, you know, really what I just mentioned is to make everyone aware of just how massive this problem is and to awaken them specifically to their identity in Christ, because it's Christ that's going to defeat this Goliath. So that's our equipping. So training, awareness, all of that. And then engagement is where we go to the streets. We go to the places. Part of the equipping is training you on how to do outreach on the streets, how to research, how to be an advocate. So that's the engagement component of actually executing. We always joke that we're Hebrews, and in Hebrew means the one who takes action. It's you know, as Christians in the Western world, we're very Greek-minded. It's all intellectual, but in the Hebrew, the biblical, you know, language, right? It's Hebrew is very action-oriented. So if I believe something, I do something. So to your point, it's what is that small step that God is calling you to, and then engage, then do something about it. And then the last piece is transform, and that's the, you know, everything from advocacy to our Safe House network to see women and children be transformed by the love of God. And that's what we talked about last night on our Understanding Trauma event that we hosted on Crowdcast, was about, you know, how do you walk into complex trauma situations and bring that transformation. And it was powerful to just hear a number of different women sharing their personal stories of how God has transformed them in the midst of what they've experienced around trauma. So that's really the vision for 611, is to build a community of people, equip them with the tools they need to go into battle. That's even Ephesians 6:11. That's a kind of a secondary verse for our founding, which is put on the full armor of God, right? And so we're big on spiritual warfare and teaching people what it means to walk in that power that's available to us. And so equip the body of Christ, give them a platform to engage, take them to the places where the darkness is. Says the light shines in the darkness does not overcome it. And so we want to go into those places that most people won't walk into. And then lastly is to transform. And that's just when you engage and you have the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, the natural thing that happens is transformation happens. It happens because the Holy Spirit's doing it, not because we are doing it. That's our vision. And as the body of Christ walks in that the fullness of those three areas, we're going to see incredible things happen in the earth.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like another tier of helping people see how the different levels of where you are in your walk and what maybe you have time for. Let's kind of switch gears into more practical things of the human trafficking. Mm-hmm. Now, is there, when people say sex trafficking, human trafficking, is there a difference?
Yeah, so 100, you know, they say, you know, it's hard, obviously hard to wrap your head around statistics because it's hard to gather statistics from traffickers, right? But, you know, the estimate is about $150 billion a year industry, and that includes labor trafficking. So labor trafficking is a big problem, you know, in a lot of other, you know, other countries internationally. So there's definitely a difference between, you know, human trafficking and sex trafficking. Sex trafficking is a component of human trafficking, and it's the one that we focus most exclusively on. And then within the fight against sex trafficking, the component of children, they say the statistic is, I think, 1 in 4 people being trafficked is a child. So about 25%. So it's a huge number. There's 40 million people enslaved on Earth today. So if you do the math, that's 10 million children, whether that's through labor trafficking or sex trafficking.
Yeah, I think that's important to know that when we say human trafficking, it's kind of like the big umbrella. And then you have the little, like you said, labor Correct. Trafficking, sex trafficking, to where you can do your part and where you're called. And I think everybody is, you know, called to, we're all called as believers, right, to set the captives free. But I think that we're also God calls us to very specific areas Amen. To set them free. Now, what are some warning signs that maybe, like, just like maybe the top three that you can think of that we could be aware of children or, you know, the women that are coming off the streets? Like, what should we, I guess, or could we be looking for if we could spot somebody that maybe be trafficked?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's actually something we walked through on our trauma event last night, is to help people recognize and have eyes in the community to pay attention to what's going on. I mean, really, you know, it's very simple. And especially for us as believers, we have the Holy Spirit. You just listen to God's voice and you watch for what you see around you. If you see, you know, an older, you know, man with a child, and the child looks uncomfortable, looks like something's wrong, and they're kind of being dragged around, I mean, there's standard kinds of things you're going to see, you know, that will alert you that there's something amiss. You'll often see, you know, when you see, you know, women that are out, you know, on the streets, and there's a man standing nearby and he's watching them. It's the thing that we all, you know, that we've been conditioned to believe is prostitution. No little girl ever, you know, when she's 10 or 11, decides she wants to become a prostitute. She's been exploited. She's been abused, and now she's stuck in a situation. So just being able to recognize where you've got, you know, women on the street, there's somebody watching them. Being able to just say, hey, can I help you? You know, our outreach teams, we have cards that we give to women. And in that way, they know they can reach out to our hotline. They can reach out to us. We will help them. you just want to look for things that seem out of place. It sounds very generic, and there's a bunch of, you know, we can go through the, you know, I'd love for you guys to send some resource pages to your community, or visit our website, and you can, you know, download some documents and pray through. But it's basically just being aware of something that looks out of place, that doesn't belong, and then, you know, praying about what you can do safely to offer assistance.
Mm-hmm. I think that last part is what's most important, because we can see the signs, but will we engage? Like, what will we, will we actually, do we have the card? Do we know what to do? Right. Cause I don't know if I could have known exactly what to do, or if I had a number to call, or, and I think that's the most important piece, because we can see it happening, but then do we know the number to call? Do we know who to contact? And just having that kind of in your back pocket at all times, so to speak, I think would really just make a huge difference. And like you said, though, keeping your eyes up. I mean, there are certain states where you go to that they don't even look at you, you know, like you can't even say hi. It's just the way it is. Like, it's just the culture. And so just being willing to look up and look at your surroundings and see what is going on. And I think probably you would agree too, of bruising and physical abuse is probably a huge sign as well. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's physical abuse that you see. You know, a lot of times they'll be, you know, looking down. They won't make eye contact with you. Like I said, they'll be watching. There's somebody else in a vehicle nearby, looking for bruises, signs of abuse. If you talk to them and they can't identify, you know, the address where they're staying, they don't have ID. If they seem to avoid conversation, if they seem fearful, just anxious in general, those are all, you know, very clear signs that something isn't right. And, you know, just had a conversation with a good friend who had, you know, God provided an opportunity to help a gal that was on the side of the road, had her tire blow out, and it was very clear. She, you know, he asked her what she did for a living. She, you know, she's like, I work, you know, nights, and I'm an emotional support person. And so he was just really felt like after the engagement, like he wasn't equipped to help her. And so the conversation he and I had was just, one of the things we want to do is empower people like you to at least have resources to give them too. So just to tell them, hey, you're made in the image of God, like speak life over them. All they've ever known is death. They've had people speak death over them. They've been used. They've been exploited. They don't even know what it's like to not feel like they have to perform or do something for their worth. And so I told him, he was like beating himself up. And I said, man, like, just showing her that not all men exploit women is going to communicate something. So that's number one. But then number two is go to our website, dig in with us, and we will equip you with actual, you know, hotline numbers, resources that you can have in your hip pocket so that if you're in a situation like that, you can provide that to a survivor. And then our team will engage.
I know that every situation is different, but overall, what it would be the general thing to do in that situation, you know, for your friend example that you just shared, what would be a great example so that people can actually have an idea, right? So they're like, okay, yeah, that's totally doable. Can you kind of walk us through of maybe what that could look like for somebody?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, and I've been in the situation. I mean, I was on a plane, got you know, amazingly on Human Trafficking Awareness Day, puts a survivor being trafficked between, I think I was flying from San Francisco to Dallas, and he put her in the seat next to me. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. I mean, I was reading a book about human trafficking, and like we had this incredible encounter. And, you know, honestly, it was me listening to God's voice and just having his heart for her and just asking her how she's doing, asking her, you know, trying to understand her situation, see how much a person's willing to open up. And then, you know, identifying what's that thing that I can do. Now, law enforcement, it's always okay to reach out to law enforcement, but I'll tell you, a lot of survivors have had bad encounters with law enforcement. And because of that, as soon as you say law enforcement, they run the other way. So a lot of times that's one of the ways the private sector, like 611 can really be assistance, is if you have, you know, our outreach cards, you have our hotline number, just being able to say, listen, I'm part of a network of people that we have committed our lives because of our love for Jesus to serve people that are in your position, and we would love to help you. So giving them that card, giving them that hotline number, telling them, you know, our names, get on your phone, go to 611 Network, reach out to them. They will help you. Having that behind you will make you feel more equipped. And then somebody on our team around the country will engage with them and we can provide a way out. We'll reach out to law enforcement where it's appropriate. But that's the best thing you can do is remind them of who they are, speak life over them, ask them about themselves, get to know their situation, and then being able to share with them, hey, you're part of a community, is a huge way to give them some comfort. And then it's up to them to reach out. And really, you know, we can't force those kinds of things. There's some groups that will try to, you know, drag people out kicking and screaming. That's not the way that we operate, especially for adults who are caught up in the sex trade. But give them the opportunity to take that step and then pray. Ask God to move in their heart, that they would call us, that they would reach out. And then it's a lasting thing that happens when they make that decision versus when you're kind of coercing or forcing them. They've already experienced that in a different way. So we just want to see God be the one that moves them in their heart. So I hope that is a good, gives a little bit more insight into how people can help.
Yeah. Like I said, every situation is so different. I mean, at that moment, that girl could just be like, I want to go with you. And then you have to decide, you know, like, how are we going to do this, right? But you can always take her somewhere to a hotel or something safe and then call people and stuff. So I don't want, you know, anybody to get so overwhelmed, like so feel so unqualified. But if, you know, of course, if the Holy Spirit's leading you, he'll always protect you. So I think that is
important. Amen.
Again, just letting people know, like, it seems really scary, but it is darkness, but we carry the light. And that's what's important is
Amen.
That since we carry the light, it drives out the darkness. Therefore, we don't have to be afraid when we go in those situations because we will be protected. And I think that's what's important though. Every situation is different. You have to trust the Holy Spirit of like, okay, I can't take her with me, but I can give her this opportunity. I can give her a card. I can ask her questions. I can at least let her know that there is a way out. And I think
Amen.
That is what is huge. Tell us about Amen. Where you think, like, where do you think the biggest opportunity to get involved is, it, like, right now? Where do you think the biggest opportunity to get involved in this industry? Because it seems so overwhelming right now. So would you recommend people just begin to learn? I know, again, everybody's on a different level, but where do you think the biggest opportunity is right now for growth and healing? And
yeah, that's a great question, Jessica. I would say right now God is mobilizing people, and what I mean by that is he is awakening people. You saw, like I mentioned at the beginning, with Wayfair and Epstein. Like there is something in the spiritual realm that's happening. Like we are living in the hour where God is opening many people's eyes to this problem. So I think the greatest need right now is to be a mouthpiece for what's going on, to be a watchman, to go out and share documentaries, share resources, invite people to your house, have a gathering of 10 people and just watch one of the films that we can recommend. I think awareness, number one, is absolutely paramount right now, is to make people aware of who's involved, right? It's heart-wrenching to know just how many powerful people are involved in the sex trade and that have been covering this up. And so being able to shine light on that and make other people in your community aware is probably the biggest need right now. And then once that happens, that's when they're mobilized and then people can step into different areas. For us, we've been crying out for God to give us more ways to fight for children specifically. Go find these children who are being trafficked in these rings, like, you know, Epstein is a good example, right? You know, that's our heart, and we're praying for more doors to open to allow us to be more proactive in uncovering and going to get these kids. My long answer is awareness, making your friends, family aware, sharing resources from groups like 611, others that are doing what we're doing. You know, because we can't heal something that's in darkness. We have to bring it out into the light. And so we're in the season of awakening. We're in the season of the light being shined on the darkness. So everybody can be part of that effort.
Yeah, I think we have to be careful because it's really easy. Especially for now, for us to get so swallowed up in the darkness. We start to literally pick apart, you know, for the example of Epstein and Wayfair, and people are like, that's not true. And nobody would ever buy a child for $10,000 or, you know, we start to kind of micromanage the real issue. The real issue is not whether or not it was sold at this price and it couldn't happen. I think that the enemy likes to continue to distract us from the main goal so that we attack each other. And instead of trying to disprove whether or not this is happening or they're right or whatever, it's really happening regardless of if this industry is doing it or not. It doesn't take away the fact that it's happening. you know? And so whether this is happening, we can still go, okay, well, here's just something else that is brought to light. Cause it's really easy right now for us to get swallowed in darkness. And then we actually start to become dark ourselves because we continue to kind of, okay, this is hard. This is heavy. This is too much. We're like, no, we don't carry the darkness. We carry the light, which actually frees us of the weight of the darkness. So I kind of just wanted, you know, to talk a little bit about that too. And I'm glad that you kind of brought that up. And I think again, we're making it harder because we're afraid. Then we unqualify ourselves and then we make it about us because we don't feel qualified. And that's not like, you know, we go in this circle of, I don't know, I'm not good enough. How can I do this? And then we actually, if you really look at it, if we're really taking ownership, we're making it about us, which is hard because we've all been in that, right? In some situation.
Right.
Where we're like, I just don't feel qualified. But Anthony, I love everything that you've shared today. And Nadia, which is also on your team, we're doing a little truth talk series, you know, on fighting this Goliath of human trafficking. And Nadia will be with us. So make sure you guys tune into Nadia. But she's going to go more into, since she does the outreach, she's going to go more into testimonies, being on the streets, and things like that. And I really wanted you to come on today to answer a lot of the, since you're the founder, the overview questions that people probably have more of, you know, getting started, what does this look like, signs to look for, getting involved, and I think really just asking. So what do you want to leave people with today with this fight?
I think you teed it up nicely, Jessica, and it's that if we focus just on the darkness of the sex trade, it will swallow us. So one of the things that 611 is most passionate about, and I want to charge, you know, your community, is that if you are called to battle the sex trade, the darkness of the sex trade, you need to spend even more time in his presence. We believe that if we're going to be asked to go to the darkest place, we better know the light so intimately. So spending time with the Father is so key. And, you know, really meditating on him more than we meditate on the darkness, right? Seeking him more than we seek to expose darkness. That is what we are called to do. And I just want to say this to you as well. You are not qualified. You are not equipped. None of us are. Like, none of us go, you know what? I am ready. I am ready to walk into, you know, the streets of Miami to the tracks where the women are bought and sold. Like, you never feel that way. But you take that one step out of the car and the Holy Spirit comes down and you watch him work. And then you yourself end up growing in your own walk in such a powerful way. So just to encourage you, just take a step. You're not going to feel equipped. You're not going to feel ready. But because Jesus lives inside of you, you are. Moses said he wasn't ready. All of the great, we have so many examples in scripture of men and women who did not feel qualified, but God used them. So be encouraged in that. God is going to get the victory in this in the end. And so we just have to ask God. And I think to your point earlier, Jessica, we ask God, what is the thing that he wants us to do? What's our specific calling? What is our mission? And then we just take small steps in that direction. So,
yeah, I love that. Well, thank you so much, Anthony, for being here. I'll of course include all the links and the website and everything for people to learn more about 611 and how they can just partner with you and just get engaged really and learn. Because I think with learning comes the confidence so that if you encounter something, you know the signs and you feel confident enough to go, oh, okay, I don't know exactly what to do, but at least I have this idea of what to do. And then you can go from there. So thank you again for being here. I appreciate it so much.
Oh, amen. It's such a joy. I'll just say one last thing. Please join us on our Monday prayer calls. If you subscribe to our mailing list, you can join those 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern. We've got a series coming up called I Am a Safe House where you will hear testimonies from people that are on the front lines. Our next event is on September 3rd. So please join us for that. And then we have our first men's ministry launch coming as well on the 27th. So whether you're a man or a woman, you're welcome to join us. We're going to talk about what the man's role is in the fight. So visit us on social media. You'll find all of our events. And just that's a great way to get plugged in is come join us, hear from others who are already in the fight, and then let God reveal to you what your call is. So thanks again, Jessica. Really appreciate your time and the opportunity to share this story with your community.